I will
trust in the
approach your word, Lord.
we approach reverently, recognizing and understanding that there is a worth and a value and a deepness in your word, that there is no way we can attain to it without you. So my Lord, I, the speaker, submit it to you.
Yes.
And I pray, Lord, that those to hear us submit it to you.
Yes.
There's no other way we can appropriate your word until we submit to you. Mm. So Holy Spirit of God,
yes,
Jesus. Oh, do have your way with us.
Yes, Lord.
Just speak to us. Be that message behind the message for us today.
Yes.
Lord, we receive this word even before we hear it.
Yes, Lord.
My God. And we declare that we will not allow the cares of the world to snatch it from us. It is good so.
It's good for
us. Oh, my Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Glory to God. Glory to God. I need you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 with me this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Yes, we've heard this before.
Yes,
we've heard it many times before.
Yes,
and I'm just going to trust God this morning, as we always do. When we hear it again, it'll cause our faith to grow. As we trust God.
Ah, yeah.
Because we've already declared, and since I'm going to trust him till I die,
until I die,
I might as well keep going and trust while I'm here. Because I am going to trust him
until I die.
It's a declaration we made. And you know what? It didn't come from our flesh.
No.
Flesh don't want to die.
No.
But it was our spirits deep down inside.
Jesus.
Our spirits were generated to say, till I die.
Until.
glory to God. Now being saved.
Jesus.
Let's take a look at what the word of God tells us. Jesus is talking to a group of people. And
thank you, Jesus.
Jesus is helping his people, teaching his people a thing they need to know as they're walking out this trust in God. My God. And I just want to say before I start, the people Jesus was talking to had not received yet the promise of the Spirit. I wanted to say that till last, but but let me just get it out there now. So as we're hearing this word, we can recognize that we have an advantage.
Yes, you do.
To the ones that Jesus was speaking to.
Yes.
See? Because we, the privileged ones, the ones God chose, elected, that we would be born at a certain time so that we would be in the time when there was the release of the promise of the Spirit. And now we have him inside of us. See? How glory to God.
Yes.
Oh, no, we can't take that lightly, can we?
No, we cannot.
We have received the promise of the Spirit.
Yes, we have.
Thank you,
Jesus.
All right, now with that promise of the Spirit,
let's
listen to this word. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 24. Jesus says to a group of people, he's teaching a group of people, and most of them are the children of Israel, the Israelites, God's chosen people. Now, there may be some Greeks, what was called Gentiles in this group, could have been. But the predominant group, the Jews, all right? And he says to the Jews, God's chosen people, the ones that were given the laws of Moses, God's beloved people, the one God said that he would bring goodness to the world through them. This people, Jesus says to them, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, Jesus says, I say unto you, chosen people of God, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And then he says, you need a few examples. You know, let me point you to something so you know what I'm talking about. Verse 26, he said, behold, in other words, look, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them.
Yeah.
Are you not much better than they?
Yes.
And then he says, now, let me talk to you a little bit more. I need to ask you something. Which of you, by taking thought, mm-hmm. can add one cubit to your stature?
Mm.
What in the world, I'm rephrasing what Jesus says, mm-hmm. can worry do for you?
Mm.
Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Raiment is clothes. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow.
Mm-hmm.
They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you, that even Solomon, or everybody back in that day know Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
They know how Solomon was dressed. They know how rich Solomon was. They know about Solomon's wisdom. Even Solomon, you know, Jesus, he went and found the one who dressed the best.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, even Solomon and all his glory
mm-hmm.
was not arrayed like one of the lilies of the field.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, glory to God. Verse 31, therefore, he says again, Jesus is telling them, I got to tell you this, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?
Mm.
For after all these things do the Gentiles seek.
Mm-hmm.
You are different people, Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
The Gentiles seek for this.
Mm-hmm.
For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. This is what I'm going to tell you to do, Jesus says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that the Gentiles run after,
mm-hmm.
that the Gentiles are seeking, all those things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Ooh, glory to God. Ah, bless his name. Oh, we've heard the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go with me back to verse 24. Jesus says to a chosen people, he says, you can't serve two masters.
Mm-hmm.
And he only named two. He said, you can't serve God and mammon.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to understand something about mammon. Mammon was the name of the Greek god for money.
Mm.
That was the name.
Mm.
Yes. Greek god, mammon. And so I had to ask myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I ran out of asking myself. I found out I don't have answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to ask the Holy Ghost, why did God mention mammon by name? The Greek god, name. And see, and this is what I've received during that. God is talking to a people, God's chosen beloved people,
mm-hmm.
who are living now in what is called the Hellenistic period.
Mm.
That's what it's called. Technically, it was the Hellenistic period. Well, what is that? The Hellenistic period was this. The Romans had taken over. They're now ruling the region. And so the Romans said that everyone that lives in a region that we rule has to. It's a mandate. You are required to live in the Greek culture. And so, back in that day, then the Romans, they started turning everything over into the Greek culture. And so that's where philosophy and all of that came from. And, you know, they had the theaters and the baths and the Romans, they made roads, you know, different kind of roads. They made roads that you could travel on. See, this was the Greek culture. The belief was that the Greek culture was better than any other culture, and so therefore, the where we rule, we're going to make sure it is required
mm-hmm.
that you now assimilate
mm-hmm.
to the Greek culture.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, God's chosen people, the Jews, were given the privilege, however, to still be able to worship their God in the way that they're accustomed to worshiping their God, in their own religion, in their own ritual practices. Mm-hmm. So they were given that privilege. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, you had to learn to speak Greek. You had to learn to be Greek. You had to learn to act Greek. You just had to be Greek. And so, and that was the mandate. So now, knowing that, I believe Holy Spirit revealed this to me. Jesus says you cannot serve God and man because it is a real thing. It's a human thing. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. That whatever environment you live in, mm-hmm. you will be influenced by it. Mm-hmm. By some way, you're going to be influenced by it. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, Jesus says to them, I need to point something out to you, chosen people of God. I need to point this out to you. You have that way to be able to go through our rituals and serving our God. But don't get it twisted, though. You cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to either love one and hate the other, mm-hmm. or you'll despise one and hold to another. Mm-hmm. You can't serve mm-hmm. two, he said. And so, in naming the Greek God, I believe that says to us today mm-hmm. that what we must remember is that we're living in a culture mm-hmm. that we call the culture of the world. Mm-hmm. Whereas we're living and moving and operating in that culture, and of course we must, and absolutely we have to, that what happens is that the influence can infiltrate the way we think, the way we believe, and the way we move. It can. We can begin to believe the way the world culture, because we see it all the time, mm-hmm. because we're inundated with it all the time, mm-hmm. because we're operating in it all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's not a rebuke for us, but it is be aware. Mm-hmm. See, we're not being rebuked because we are in some ways assimilated into the culture in which we live. That's a human thing. That happens. But Jesus is saying, be aware. And so in that, now Jesus is going for not just the ways of speaking Greek, let's say to them, and speaking Greek. He's not talking about those things. He's not talking about, you know, going to the theater that they, you know, the Greeks had. He's not talking about those things. He's talking about the one thing here mm-hmm. that could be Lord mm-hmm. over your life. Money. Mm. And so he says to us today, as he spoke to them back then, the Holy Spirit of God is saying to us today, children of God, those of you chosen, elect, out of the world, I need you to acknowledge something, be aware of this thing, as you are in the world, functioning in the world, it is very possible for the influence of the world to influence you. But beware that it does not influence you to the degree that now you have another Lord. Mm. Now let's think about this thing. Out of all the things that even in our day, and back then, and I'm sure in the days to come, that could be the biggest opposition against God mm-hmm. being Lord in our lives is going to be money mm-hmm. and riches mm-hmm. and material things. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because see, Jesus goes straight to the natural things that we need. You know, worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and where you're going to live and how you're going to pay your cell phone bill and your mortgage. You know, he said, take no thought for that. Because God knows what you need. And so what we can understand here in the word is that we have a tendency, we could be influenced by that thing or things or whatever that entity is that we believe takes care of us. And let's be clear and let's just be truthful. If you got enough money, you can feel taken care of. Now we're not being so super spiritual that we're not going to admit that thing. If you have enough money, you can feel like you're taken care of. If you have enough assets, I'm good. We can have that feeling of I'm good. And let me be clear. It's nothing God has never said. And I'm going to prove it in the word. He never said not to have money. He never said don't go to work and get money. He never said any of that. He's only saying to us, make sure money's not your Lord. That's all he's saying. And I'm going to prove it in a minute. I'm going to prove it. We're going to keep walking in the word. But there's two things Jesus told us that we hold fast to today in our hearts to help us as we are living and breathing and moving in the word, in the world. Because, see, we have businesses that we started in the world. And we have ministries that we're starting in the world. And we have children that we're sending in the world. And all we're living and working and breathing in the world. So Jesus then, how are we appropriating this thing? And he made it very clear to us. And this is the instruction he told us. He says, therefore, in verse 24, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore. Well, here's the solution. The solution is going to come after therefore. You cannot serve God and mammon, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life. There it is. There's the answer. There it is. Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry. Take no thought for your life. That's the answer. Right there. How are we going to make sure, Lord, as we're living in this earth and we're making decisions and as we're functioning in the earth, and of course it is our intentions and our motivation to carry out and do that thing that you called us to do. How are we going to make sure that somehow the influence of mammon, the influence of the culture of the world doesn't infiltrate in my thinking and in my believing and how I am handling? How are we going to do that? Jesus says, this is how you're going to do it. Take no thought for your life. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about those things you need. Don't worry about your life. Wow. Isn't that something? It sounds simple. So there's the answer. Take no thought for your life about all the natural things that you need. Verse 25 brings out something else. Let us understand. And we know it. I'm going to bring it out today again. Verse 25 says, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Is not the life more than meat? Here's the other thing that we know. And I'm just going to bring it out again today for the sake of this message. We know this. Money can't give life. There is no life in money. Money can't give what money doesn't have. Money can't give peace. All for a while until it starts getting funny. But money can't give the abundance of a security and the assurance that never leaves, that never moves. Money can't do that. However, Jesus told us that he had come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. But money doesn't have it to give. There's not life more, Jesus said, than me. Isn't it more than the material things that you can buy, you can possess, you can have? And isn't the body more valuable than the clothes that you wear? Glory to God. And then as we said before, mm-hmm. verse 26, mm-hmm. 27, mm-hmm. 28, mm-hmm. 29, 30. Mm-hmm. They all are examples for us to look at.
Yes.
You know, isn't it beautiful that he says, listen, Jesus, we know, as we read in John chapter 5, Jesus says, the Father loves me, he shows me what he's doing, and then I do it. That's what he said. And so now Jesus is pointing us to what the Father is doing. The Father is feeding the birds.
Yes, he is.
And the Father is making flowers so beautiful, we cut them off and bring them in our house.
Yes,
you know, this is what the Father is already doing, see.
Yes,
and watch this. He's doing it to the birds. What about the beast, not the beast, the wild animals?
Yes.
What about the snakes?
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
It is said that not one sparrow will fall from the ground without our Father knowing about this thing. See, so we can take a look around. We see what the Father is doing. That's an example. And guess what? Aren't you much more valuable to him than they?
Jesus.
Listen, I got to tell you something about Jesus.
Yeah.
We don't say this often, but Jesus was a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was.
Yes, he was.
He was a preacher,
yes, he was.
And he was a teacher.
Yes, he was.
And yes, he was. And you know what? This right here, Romans 6, chapter 24 through 34, not just that, but this is what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
This right here, Jesus is preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that preaching has a purpose.
Yes.
You know what that purpose is? He's talking about faith.
Yes.
He's talking about trusting God. He's talking about... who are you going to trust?
Yeah.
And so what he's doing is he's persuading a people to believe God. Because that's what faith is, isn't it? Being fully persuaded that God is who he said he is, and he will do what he said he's going to do. See, so Jesus did. He preached it like I'm preaching today. See, I feel like I'm in good company. Because he's preaching, and he's saying to these folks, listen, you see these birds every day. And you see this grass every day. You already see what the Father is doing. And don't you know that you're more valuable to the Father than they?
Yes,
don't you know? You must know then.
Yes,
that God will take care of you.
He will.
Hallelujah.
He will.
I love it. He's a preacher.
He's a preacher.
And he says to a people.
Yes.
O ye of little. Oh, my Lord. He needed the people to find out where they were. Let's locate where you are here. Oh, ye of little faith.
Yeah.
And again, basically what he's saying is, you already see what the Father's doing. How can you not believe? He'll take care.
He will.
How can you not?
He will.
Yes, Lord.
He will.
Yes, God.
Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. All right, now. There are several times, I didn't count them, I should have, but there are several times in these few verses, it is recorded that Jesus said, take no thought for your life.
Okay.
Now, what did we say about repetition?
Mm-hmm.
We said, repetition in this Bible is to highlight for us the important point. Take no thought for your life is what we're going to take from today.
Yes.
Take no thought for your life. On Monday, when you got to go to that same desk and deal with that same supervisor and that same work that is getting on your nerve, take no thought for your life. On Wednesday, when you have more to do than you have time to do it, then what we're going to do is take no thought for our life.
No thought.
On Thursday,
yes,
when Jesus, you know, the head of the church, has said to you, I need you to minister to that person over there.
Yes.
What are we going to do? Take
no
thought for our lives.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. When you know you've been in prayer and the tormentors, I call them the tormentors, where the Bible calls them the tormentors. The tormentor's been at you. What do I mean by the tormentor's been at you? See, you've been having these thoughts ramming you in the head. You got all kinds of thoughts ramming you in the head. And if they're ramming you in the head, you know they're not God's thoughts. Don't we know that, right? Then they're ramming you in the head, and you got all of this onslaught of mess coming in for your head. And you go to God, and God says to you, well, I did say that if you didn't forgive, Oh, the tormentor, sir. Yeah. I'm going to let the tormentor.
Yeah.
Sir. I'm going to let. And so now you got this thing and you've heard from God, and now you got to go over and ask forgiveness.
Yes, you do.
You don't want to.
No.
But you know what you're going to do? Take no thought for your life. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You're going to take no thought for your life. And yeah, that one that you know intentionally uses everything you got.
Yes.
And you know, and every single time they come, you hear in your spirit, give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, mm-hmm. Lord. Mm-hmm. And look, you know that they're using you, but they don't know that you know. And here they come again.
Yeah.
Flesh is like, oh, not this time. Not this time. Yeah. Not this time.
Oh, but.
Oh, it's just down here.
Mm.
There's this thing, see. It said, no.
Mm.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
You give it to them.
Mm.
What are we going to do in that situation?
Mm.
We're going to take no thought for our lives. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to take no thought for your life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Take no thought for your life.
Yeah.
Isn't that very similar to cease from your own work?
Yes, it is.
It is pretty much saying the same thing, isn't it? Cease from your own work. Cease from what you know. Cease from your own emotion. Cease mm-hmm. from what you think.
Mm-hmm.
Cease from how you think you see how it's going to end. Cease from that. Cease. Cease from that. Why? Because His grace is sufficient for us to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
His grace is sufficient. It has fueled us. Mm-hmm. It has prepared us. It has given us everything we need.
Mm-hmm.
Take no thought for your life, Jesus says. And if you do that, at least that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You take no thought for your life, and you're standing in a really good position right here not to allow mammon to be your Lord. Because God takes care of you. Now, there's one other thing that Jesus told us to do to ensure us that God remains our Lord through it all.
Mm-hmm.
He said this to us, verse 33, but seek ye first.
Mm-hmm.
Seek as your highest priority.
Mm-hmm.
Seek as your number one.
Mm-hmm.
Seek this first before you go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So seek first, meaning go there first,
mm-hmm.
and go as the highest priority.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to look to this next thing. You're going to look to that before you look to anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't make a move until you have sought this thing.
Mm-hmm.
What thing is that? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Mammon has a kingdom.
Yes.
We're living in it. He has a kingdom we're living in. But for you and I, we have this instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says to us, as you take no thought for your life, what you must do is seek God's kingdom and not the kingdom of man. And so we seek first our highest priority. We integrate our entire existence in the kingdom of God. We set out the direction of our lives based on the kingdom of God. And when we do that, watch this, Romans 8, that's another way of us demonstrating that we're spiritually minded.
Oh, Jesus.
Romans chapter 8, spiritually minded. We are rooted and grounded, steadfast in the kingdom of God. And His righteousness.
His righteousness.
His righteousness is the way He does things.
Yes, it is.
So we're seeking the kingdom of God and the way He does things, because the way He does it is right.
It's right.
Oh, see? So as we seek first as our highest priority, as the place we go first, before we make a decision, before we decide how we're going to move forward, we go and we give the highest priority from the information, the instruction we receive from the kingdom of God. It gets our highest priority, and we do that first. My God. And we find out the right way to do just that. It sounds again another way like saying we cease from our own works. And we remain spiritually minded. And because, as we said, mammon has a kingdom too. And guess what? Over there in the kingdom of mammon, you must be carnally minded.
Jesus.
Romans chapter 8. And we found out in Romans chapter 8 that being carnally minded is enmity against God. Enmity meaning what? In direct opposition of the way God does things. And it says, and to be carnally minded, you can't do the will of God. Isn't that what it said? Romans chapter 8? Yeah. And so therefore, we have it. Number one, we have declared today, Lord, I'm going to trust you till I die.
Till I die.
Anybody else, we recognize that there's a physical death and there's a spiritual death.
Yes.
And in that spiritual death, we are dying every day.
Yes, we are.
We're dying to ourselves every day. We're dying to our own ideas, our own emotions, our own perspectives, what we like, what we don't like, the goals we have, and this thing that I want and that thing that I want. We're dying every day to it. And glory to God. And so therefore, in the number one that we are know that we are to do, we are to live in the state of taking no thought for our lives. Okay, and now that's the way they said it back then. Let me just bring it down to a word that we understand. We're not going to worry.
No.
I'm not worried about my life. We can't worry. Don't worry about your life. God knows what you need. And he's yours. Lord. That's what Lords do, you know. Lords take care. And Jesus said, you know, you're either going to love the one or hate the other. And say, yeah, and the one that you love is the one you have decided is your Lord. You have despised one or hold to another. The one that you love, the one that takes care of you, is the one you gonna hold to. And when and that holding to means whatever you say, Lord, that's what I'm gonna do.
Jesus.
Whatever you say. And so we be careful not to allow mammon to tell us what to do. And see, because and let me give you an example. Mammon. Mammon can say, I got a job offer. I got two job offers. And the job over there, it's making a whole lot more money. Well, the job over there, though, you know, it's not as much. I think I'm going to take the job over here because, you know, it's more money. It's more prestige. Yeah, I have more influence over there. Oh, watch out. You see, maybe what we must do is what? The number two thing. Seek the kingdom of God first.
Yes.
Lord, which one should I take?
Yes.
And see, we got to take no thought for our lives if God says, well, the one over there is the one I want for you. Now, he very well could say, well, yeah, take the one with the most money. But the point is, we sought the kingdom of God first. All right? What's number one? Take no thought for your life. And that was number two. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and the way he does things.
Yeah.
And wait a minute. It comes with a promise. It comes with a promise. And when we take no thought for our lives and we seek first the kingdom of God and the way he does things and his righteousness, it comes with a promise. All the things and stuff the Gentiles have been running after, well, the Lord, he'll just add.
Yes, he will.
See what I'm saying? Oh, you take that job over there that's making less money. When you get over there, I tell you what, you're going to have peace over there. You're going to have influence over there. You're going to get some folks saved over there. And guess what? Before you know it, you will be running the company. See, it's going to be added. You see what I'm saying? And that's just an example. I can't say that's exactly what's going to happen. It's an example. You got to say that to folks sometimes. You know, people say, you said I'm going to get a promotion. It's an example. That's an example of the way God works. Glory to God. So we have a reward.
Yes.
and living in the kingdom in which we've been called.
Yes.
By God. Now, I gotta show you this. Please let me show you. Luke chapter 18. Let me show you this. Oh, let me show you this. Yes, God. While you're turning there, let me just read it. This is the story of what we and what we understood, you know, what we commonly refer to as the rich young ruler. Mm-hmm. And so Luke chapter 18, verse 18, I'm just going to read it because then I'm just going to talk about it very quickly. Here's an example for us. And a certain ruler asked him, Jesus, saying, "Good master, what shall I do? Good master, what shall I do? Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And when I say, this is what I love. It, you know, like this is our spiritual jargon, you know. You can even say safe refuge jargon. When I said, "What shall I do?" and I said that several times, I just said in my mind, everybody right now is saying, "Oh, you can't work for eternal life." You know, I just knew that's what was going on, see. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But anyway, rich young ruler says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment." He went through the commandments with the rich one, young ruler, said, you know what to do. You know, don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't do all that thing. And the young man said, "Well, I've been doing that since I was a kid." Mm-hmm. Now, verse 22 says, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto them, "Okay, there's one thing that you lack. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when the rich man heard that, he said, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, Jesus said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Verse 25, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it, and who was they that heard it? His apostles, apostles and disciples that were around him. And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." So Jesus is not saying they can't be saved, but the only way that's going to happen is through God. Then Peter said, "Lord, we left everything to follow you." Verse 29, then Jesus said this, and he said unto them, "Verily, I say unto you," verily is like saying surely, like he sealed that thing. He said, "There's make no mistake." He said, "Don't get this twisted." Mm-hmm. You know, this is a sure thing I'm saying to you. "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." And this is something we want to see here. This rich young ruler, he heard Jesus speak somewhere, and he knew that in Jesus was an eternal life. And this rich young ruler who said he kept all the commandments, so he's already, according to Moses' law, in good standing. But what he knew was he needed an eternal life. There was an eternal life he needed. This rich young ruler said, "I need a Savior." He's running down, running Jesus down. Jesus, I need a Savior. That's what he was asking for. See, he's already done all the stuff that back in that day and in that time that said that puts you in right standing with God if you've done all the commandments. But this rich young ruler said, "I know I need more than this. I need a Savior. Jesus, what must I do? I need a Savior, Jesus. I need a Savior." I believe it was the book of Mark in this same story. It says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus beholding him, loved him. And he said to him, "Okay, This is what I need you to do. I need you to switch masters.
Oh, Jesus.
And then what he said? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He says, I need you to switch lords. Okay. Eternal life you want? Switch lords and follow me. The Bible says, the rich young ruler was sorrowful. Because see, what he wanted was a savior. He didn't want a lord. He had a lord. Mammon was his lord. He wasn't ready to switch. He knew he needed a savior. He knew there was something else he needed in his life. He knew that. And he saw Jesus for who he was, at least to the degree of savior. He said, Jesus, I need you as a savior. But no, you've gone too far now. Now I can't make you Lord, dog. So in this story, we have to ask ourselves, is it possible that Jesus can be our Savior, but not our Lord? Oh, glory to God. Your Lord is who takes care of you. Your Lord is the one you go to first. Your Lord is the one you have surrendered your life to. That's your Lord. Because Jesus says, and then after you switch lords by selling all your stuff, then come and follow me. See? Then come and give up your life. Then come and be a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Then we decide, we said a few weeks back that as we are recognizing that we are simply in the will of God because we're in Christ Jesus, and being in him, we find ourselves simply doing the will of God. We said that. Now, what was our part? A living sacrifice, dying to ourselves. Yeah, that was our part. Surrendering totally ourselves. Being totally surrendered to God. Meaning what? I own nothing. I don't even own the breath that I breathe. I own nothing. My money is yours. My house is yours. My kids are yours. My house is yours. My mind is yours. My ministry is yours. My business is yours. My gifts are yours. Your talents are yours. Lord, I own nothing. And you're my Lord. And Jesus said this. He made a promise. He made a promise to us. He said in verse 29, there won't be anybody. He said, surely, there won't be anybody that has given up everything for me in the gospel. There won't be one that has decided to give it up to be that living sacrifice. There won't be without one of them who shall not receive. I love the Bible said manifold more. Manifold was enough. But manifold more means a multiplication that you don't know what to do with. And manifold more of what? House, parents, brethren, wife, children. And that life everlasting. Oh, glory to God. Don't we thank God, children of God, that as we are in Christ and we're living and moving and having our being in him, he who has been made our righteousness, he who has been made our holiness, he that has been made the wisdom of God for us, he that has been made our clear path, he that has been made every provision we need, he that is our security. We are in union with him, united with him, in one spirit in him. Aren't we so happy that we're the ones that received the promise of the Spirit, and therefore those back in that day that didn't seem to know how to get it right, we can't get it right. It's been made right for us. We simply need to cease from our own works, depend on the grace of God that's sufficient for us, be in our weakness so that we can now be strong in him. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, in that place of weakness, the power of Christ rests on us. Mm. Oh my God, can I say this? We can't lose. We
cannot lose. Mm.
Jesus said, sure.
Ah, good.
So anything that comes up against you, surely that Jesus said for you, anything, we have a right as kingdom citizens,
yes,
children of God,
yes,
surrendered unto the Lord himself. We have a right to stand in the power and authority of his name and say, no, you won't, and no, you can't. Do we receive this word today?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory to God, I said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord told us today, rejoice.
Yes.
Oh, we have something to rejoice about.
Yes,
see, we can't lose, children of God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we said until we die.
Oh,
the only way we can lose is to sit down somewhere and give up and I ain't doing this no more. And you know what? Just the blessing of God, he won't even allow us to do that.
No.
Yes.
No.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Bless his name.
Thank you, Lord.
His name is to be praised.
Yes,
oh, we got something to be happy about.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, his name is to be praised.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
yes, God.
Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, pray this. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. It is as fresh and as powerful and as potent, as impactful and effective in our lives today as it was when Jesus spoke it here on the earth. And it has changed us today, and we'll never be the same. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for continuing to show us who you made us in Christ Jesus. Because, Lord, we walk in day by day, and moment by moment. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you that this word won't leave us alone. It won't. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our God, for teaching us and instructing us and showing us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us things to come. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that in you we have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We give you praise. We bless your name in this house. Jesus, thank you for being in the midst of us. We don't take it lightly. I believe we can say you don't visit every church on a Sunday. But you're here with us. And we thank you. We're going to go into our time of communion as our minister of communion, as he prepares for us. We're going to sing a few songs and go into communion. Hallelujah. Oh, we're people, we've been set free from the bondage, the master of sin, cravings, and today we have been set free from those things that burden us and those things that we tend to worry about. We just be set free. We be free.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Oh, glory to God. In Christ, we just be free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.